Switched on. Can you hear me? Wonderful. So it was about, well, good morning. It was about 6 weeks ago-ish when I was asked if I would speak on peace this morning. At the time, it wasn't feeling particularly peaceful. Our daughter Rebecca had been in her first term at university. She'd been there about 6 weeks, and she had this awful flu, like proper flu, when you couldn't really get out of bed. And it was the first time, A, that Rebecca had lived away from home, and B, that she'd been poorly and we weren't there as her lovely doctor parents to make sure that she didn't need to see a doctor. And it was actually quite scary. So I wasn't feeling particularly peaceful. She's fine now, by the way. And also I was thinking, actually, you know what, December, is it a particularly peaceful time of year? For most people, if you ask them, how are you? The answer is usually busy. Because life is busy, and then you've got to do Christmas on top of that. Whether that's, if you've got kids, they'll take into school today and they're dressing up as what in the nativity? There's Christmas carol services, and also Christmas is also December, is a month of, it's winter. There are lots of viruses around. It's rare that people are feeling completely well for the whole of December, and it's dark and wet. So not particularly, I was thinking, a peaceful time of year, but yet here we are in Advent and a time when we absolutely all need to explore peace. And what do we really mean? What does God mean when he says that he brings peace? Just put that, just the readings up again that Frank so kindly just read for us. And when the angels came and they sang to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. So I don't know if you stop for a minute and think, well, what do I mean when I say the word peace? What do we mean when we say peace? So the dictionary definition is freedom from disturbance, tranquility, the absence of conflict or war. So I've found a video by the Bible Project people. Don't know whether any of you have heard of the Bible Project. They're great for exploring an overview of a biblical topic or a book in the Bible. They do it quite quickly, though, so just bear with me. It doesn't matter if you don't catch every word. It's about 3.5 minutes long, and then I'll be summarising some points at the end. So just enjoy this video by the Bible Project for a minute.
The word peace is common in most languages. People can talk about peace treaties or times of peace. It means the absence of war. And in the Bible, the word peace can refer to the absence of conflict, but it also points to the presence of something better in its place. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is eirene. The most basic meaning of shalom is complete or whole. The word can refer to a stone that has a perfect, whole shape with no cracks. It can also refer to a completed stone wall that has no gaps and no missing bricks. Shalom refers to something that's complex with lots of pieces that's in a state of completeness, wholeness. It's like Job, who says his tents are in a state of shalom because he counted his flock and no animals are missing. This is why shalom can refer to a person's well-being. Like when David visited his brothers on the battlefield, he asked about their shalom. The core idea is that life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships and situations, and when any of these is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole, it needs to be restored. In fact, that's the basic meaning of shalom when you use it as a verb. To bring shalom literally means to make complete or restore. So Solomon brings shalom to the unfinished temple when he completes it. Or if your animal accidentally damages your neighbor's field, you shalom them by giving them a complete repayment for their loss. You take what's missing and you restore it to wholeness. The same goes for human relationships. In the book of Proverbs, to reconcile and heal a broken relationship is to bring shalom. And when rival kingdoms make shalom in the Bible, it doesn't just mean they stop fighting, it also means they start working together for each other's benefit. This state of shalom is what Israel's kings were supposed to cultivate, and it rarely happened. So the prophet Isaiah, he looked forward to a future king, a prince of shalom, and his reign would bring shalom with no end. A time when God would make a covenant of shalom with his people and make right all wrongs and heal all that's been broken. This is why Jesus' birth in the New Testament was announced as the arrival of Eirene. Remember, that's the Greek word for peace. Jesus came to offer his peace to others, like when he said to his followers, "My peace I give to you all." The apostles claimed that Jesus made peace between messed up humans and God when he died and rose from the dead. The idea is that he restored to wholeness the broken relationship between humans and their creator. This is why the Apostle Paul can say Jesus himself is our Eirene. He was the whole complete human that I am made to be but have failed to be. And now he gives me his life as a gift. And this means that Jesus' followers are now called to create peace. Paul instructed local churches to keep their unity through the bond of peace, which requires humility and patience. Peace means participating in the life of Jesus, who reconciled all things in heaven and earth, restoring peace through his death and resurrection. So peace takes a lot of work, because it's not just the absence of conflict. True peace requires taking what's broken and restoring it to wholeness, whether it's in our lives, our relationships, or in our world. And that's the rich biblical concept of peace.
Okay, I could just sit down now, couldn't I? So, yeah. yes, this word shalom, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, is the Hebrew word for peace. And that means completeness, soundness, welfare, peace, quiet, tranquility, contentment. And to kind of quote from that the video clip there, this state of shalom is what Israel's kings were supposed to cultivate, but it rarely happened. And the book of Isaiah is Frank's already read from twice actually this morning, and Matt touched on 2 weeks ago when he was talking about hope-filled waiting. The book of Isaiah looks forward to this future, and his reign will bring shalom with no end, a time when God will make this covenant of shalom with his people and make right all the wrongs and heal all that's been broken. And won't that be wonderful? And then looking forward to Jesus, Jesus' birth brings Eirene, so a word we're less familiar with, one, to be honest, I didn't think I'd heard or didn't know how to pronounce, Eirene, which is the Greek word, the New Testament word for peace. So Jesus came to bring restoration between creation and its creator. And when we see Jesus' life, don't we see that that's what he's doing, bringing peace by healing the sick, restoring what was broken, forgiving the sinners, bringing shalom. So he also came to offer that to his followers, and that includes us. So we're going to explore what that means. What does that mean for us together? So looking at the definition of Eirene, which I've got up on the screen there, the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And that is. So we're going to have a look together about what Jesus said about peace. So one of the verses that you find in the book of John, one of the things Jesus said about peace is this verse in John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And so we see here that peace is a gift from God. Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." And the thing about a gift is it's not earned, is it? When people give us a gift, think about gifts at Christmas time, it's not earned. And when it's given, it belongs to the person that you've given it to. You give it to them and then it belongs to you. So Jesus' peace is ours. He has given us his peace. However, it's often like we've forgotten that he's given us his peace, or often doesn't feel like it, does it? And so this verse doesn't stop there, and I think with good reason. It kind of would be easier if it stopped with, "I've given you my peace, full stop, that's it, let's move on." But Jesus says, I do not give to you as the world gives, which I think probably mostly means when the world trouble, and that's the only time that we can know peace. But Jesus' peace doesn't come to us like that. But there's something for us to do here. Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. Because actually there are so many things that if we let them can cause us to have troubled hearts or be afraid. Because life happens, doesn't it? Even in December, even when it's nearly Christmas. We might have a health scare for ourselves or a loved one. Our jobs might be insecure. We have relationship difficulties, financial difficulties. Or kind of maybe on a lighter note, we've got exams or job interviews. Life happens, or we've got that horrible super flu that's going around. And when this stuff happens, shalom is still ours, even if it doesn't feel like it. And what I've been reflecting on over the past 6 weeks since I was given this task, which has been really useful to do, is thinking about what can we do to position ourselves to actually experience this peace that God has brought for us. If you like, to unwrap it, to know the peace, because I think that actually God does want us to experience peace. He doesn't want us to just know that, I know about peace. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, of course God's given me. He actually wants us to experience peace even in the midst of life. So what can we do to position ourselves? So I was torn between getting the wheelie whiteboard and doing, because I've got each letter of the word peace, I've got a thing sort of to help you remember. So I was going to get the wheelie whiteboard, then I thought, with me being a bit, handwriting's not the best. Imagine this is the wheelie whiteboard, and we're going to just look at each of these letters just as a way to remember the peace. So the first one, P, we're going to pause in the presence of Jesus. Pause in the presence of Jesus. And I'm actually going to read this passage, John 20, 19 to 22, which if you've got your Bible or a Bible app on your phone, feel free to read it along with me. Did have it saved, but Frank borrowed my Bible. John 20, 19. So this is Jesus appearing to his disciples after he had risen from the dead. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And so we see here the disciples were afraid, and with good reason, really. And they had locked themselves away in the upper room. And Jesus comes into their midst, and what does he say? "Peace be with you." Not faith be with you, or love be with you, or joy be with you. Because when we are afraid, what we need is peace. And something that I find quite useful to do is if you are feeling anxious or afraid, to actually pause and recognize the presence of Jesus and to pray, "Lord Jesus, show me where you are in this situation. Show me where you are." And actually the answer is always going to be, "I'm right here. I am with you." But also actually to have that knowledge that not only is he with us, but he is with that situation over there that we're praying for. So at the moment, I could potentially be worried and anxious about my daughter who is in Australia, which is actually as far away as possible that it is for her to be from her mother. And just this last week, she had some unsettling news, potentially unsettling for her future, and she was afraid. And all I wanted to do was to be able to be there and to be able to tell her, you know, well, I did tell her everything was going to be okay, but I wanted to be there physically. But I was thankfully preparing for this sermon, and so was able to say, actually, I can pause and recognize the presence of Jesus. Well, Jesus, you are here with me, but you are also here with her. And when we think about these situations in the world, I was thinking about Nigeria and those schoolgirls who were taken away. And we've been praying this morning for those situations in the world. Jesus, where are you here? And his answer is actually, I am there. I am with them. I am with her. And we can ask them for him to strengthen them. So peace comes not from the absence of trouble, but from the presence. But sometimes we need to stop, pause here, and remember that. Peace comes not from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of the Lord. So the next one, E, I've stolen this E from the Arise, as you'd probably, it sounds familiar, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We can't do this on our own. And so thankful to God that he hasn't left us to do this on our own. Remember that passage I just read in John 20? After Jesus had said, peace be with you, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He is our peace. And the fruit of the Spirit, which you're all familiar with, so that's like the result of us being filled with the Spirit, which we read in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, which you can look up if you'd like to now, says that the fruit of the Spirit is, probably all know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So it was great to be reminded that this peace, even though there's something, things that we can do to position ourselves to experience peace, actually this is a gift from Jesus about his presence. And actually when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we will experience more peace. Next, A. We need to align our thoughts with God's thoughts. We need to align our thoughts with his. So the passage that I'd like us to read together is Philippians 4, verses 6 to 9. A familiar passage. We have had talks on this passage several times, probably even this year. But I think really good to be reminded of it again, especially this time of year. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So that is it's a familiar passage, isn't it? I'm sure probably to most of you. And twice in that passage, it talks about peace. But that peace is as a result of us doing something. And I think there's two important points here. One being thanksgiving. Thanksgiving brings peace. Gratitude is so helpful. It's not just something that, you know, I know that, you know, I work in mental health as part of my role, and actually talking about being thankful is something that we do. But actually, this is such a biblical concept again and again and again. That we're to bring our requests to him, but we are to be thankful. And if we're not sure where to start with our being thankful, we always say, start for what's right in front of you. So whether that's your computer screen, or thank you that I've got this computer screen in front of me. Thank you for the air that I breathe. Thank you for this church family. And thankful hearts bring the peace of God, which passes understanding. And then the next thing is that the second part of this passage where it talks about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure. It's really important to think about what we're thinking about. Because if our minds are full of how awful everything is, if we're kind of glued to the news, I think, yes, we need to know what's going on in the world. But I would suggest that maybe once a day is enough. Because sometimes we're literally every hour we're refreshing on what's happening in the world right now. And is it ever good news? And so, yes, be aware so that we can offer things up to God in prayer. But be aware of what's filling our minds. Another thing that can fill our minds is almost other people's good lives, looking at social media. And then again, our minds are thinking about, oh, I wish I was doing that. I wish, I know, and that's not good for us. But if we fill our minds with what is true, what is right, what is excellent, what is praiseworthy, then the result of that, looking at this verse, the God of peace will be with you. That is absolutely true. Okay, C, confident trust. Confident trust. And this link between trusting in the person and the character of God and then receiving peace is throughout the whole sweep of Scripture. So I'm actually going to read these verses, and part of it is just let this Scripture speak to you. I'm going to read these three verses, and you can look them up if you like, or you can just listen. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Perfect peace. Actually, I'm just going to aside for there. I quite like looking up verses in the Blue Letter Bible. Any of you got that app on your phone? It allows you to see what that word peace actually means in the original Hebrew in the Old Testament, or Greek, most likely in the New Testament. And I was thinking, oh, I wonder what perfect peace is. Perfect peace. And actually, that it's shalom, shalom. So actually, that it's not the word perfect. The perfection is the shalom, and it's shalom, shalom. So I thought that was beautiful. So I'll just share that with you. Isaiah 54, verse 10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Which is kind of like if it feels like the whole world is falling apart, if it feels like your whole world is falling apart, my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed. On to the New Testament, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you, anyone know what it says next? As you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot separate out this peace with our confident trust in our loving Heavenly Father. Anne Voskamp, who is an author I really, really like, she says, all fear is but the notion that God's love ends. All fear is but the notion that God's love ends, and his love for you never will. I have a good friend who a few years ago was diagnosed with cancer. And I remember going for a walk with her just when she was just in the midst of finding out what was going on. And you know, it was going to be a long haul for her, which she knew. I had absolutely never seen her so peaceful. She's a pretty peaceful person anyway. But there was almost like she had this serenity about her. even as she told me what had happened, what she was going through. And she said, you know what, Anna, when I saw the scan, and I, because she's a doctor as well, and she saw the scan, and she's like, I knew that what it was. I could see it on the screen. And she said, the first thing that came into my mind was that verse, Romans 8:28. That we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And she demonstrated to me that it's possible not just to know about peace, but to know peace even in the midst of difficult circumstances. And I absolutely know that it's not that experience for everybody who goes through difficult health anxieties and horrible things to go through. Not everyone experiences that peace, but my friend demonstrated that actually this is possible. And that didn't just come out of nowhere. She is a woman who has been walking with God for decades. And so when things were going well, in that secret place, she spends hours in prayer and with scripture. So we build up that trust by getting to know him better. And so I really encourage you, even in the good times, get to know him better, because all of us will face times when actually life is turbulent. All of us will. But if we know him well, then we have that confident trust that his love never fails. And then finally, moving on to expectant hope. So Matt talked about hope a couple of weeks ago, hope-filled waiting. And sometimes to experience peace, we need to lean hard into our hope for the future. There's a film that I really enjoy called The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Anybody seen The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel? So a few of you have. If you haven't, it's a fun watch. It's about a hotel in India, which is someone kind of once renovates it, is in the process of renovating it anyway, to bring guests, and guests come in from the UK to stay at this hotel, which is not ready for the visitors when they arrive. And one of the things the hotel manager says when they're all like, oh, this doesn't work, and this doesn't work, and this is falling off, is he says this. He says, everything will be all right in the end. And if it is not all right, then it's not the end. And I like that, because actually isn't that how we can live? Because you know what? Everything is not all right now. Everything has not been all right this week. But everything will be in the end. So let's read these scriptures together. So Romans 8:38. And 39, if you've got your Bibles or an app, it's a bit of a longer one. Romans 8. Nope, lost Romans. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And Revelation 21:3-5, looking with expectancy to our future. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Amen. So sometimes we need to lean into that expectant hope. Things are not okay now, but they will be. And that is a certain hope for our future. So as I come into end, let's bring this back to Christmas. You know what? It's 11 sleeps to go. Whether you knew that? 11 sleeps to go. And we've got this picture of the shepherds, a little bit afraid because the sky's filled with angels. But the angels are filling the sky and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour." About family time, food, presents, good TV, meals out, even carol singing, then it's hard to find peace in the midst of it. So let's choose to remember the Prince of Peace. And as we finish, I think it would just be, helpful to just take a few minutes, look at that list of verses. Look them up in your Bible, or even just Google them if you haven't got the Bible app on your phone. Which of those verses do you want me to take into this week ahead? And to take, you know, the next few weeks of 2025, or maybe even to take into the year ahead. And take it with you. Memorize it if you can. So that you can again and again come back to the Prince of Peace who is there for you. Amen. I don't know whether it would be helpful to have Charles tinkering away in the background or just a couple minutes of peace. Yeah, please, Charles, thank you.